one of them, or we can make this leaf be one of the first set of submissions.
On behalf of Allium Trustees, submitted 718, in relation to the zoning of 11 Belfast Terrace and a number of Manchester Place properties that are listed there. My primary evidence has been recirculated in accordance with the directions issued by the Chair of the Hearings Panel. I've read Ms. Devlin's rebuttal evidence dated 7 July 2017 and acknowledged that she now recommends that the site's being zoned medium density residential. However, for the reasons outlined in my primary evidence, I remain of the opinion that the residential properties on Queenstown Hill should be zoned high density residential, due primarily to the high amenity values of the land and its close proximity to the town centre. I consider that the notified low density residential and medium density residential zoning of the land on Queenstown Hill beyond Kent Street represents underutilisation of that land in such a prime location and does not promote a compact and integrated urban form as sought in Chapter 4, Urban Development. In addition to the reasons set out in my primary evidence, the following points are also of relevance. While the walk from Queenstown Town Centre to Belfast Terrace and Manchester Place is uphill and in steep in places, it is walkable. Last week I walked the distance, and from our offices halfway along Shotover Street up to Manchester Place, it took me 15 minutes. And I returned to Shotover Street via a different route, and this also took me 15 minutes. So given that the walk to and from the town centre is approximately 15 minutes, I consider that walking and cycling should already be a favourable alternative to driving for those who reside on the hill and travel into the Queenstown Town Centre due to the difficulty in finding a car park in the area during most of the day and the congestion that occurs in some areas of the town centre at peak hours of the day. Travelling in a vehicle from Manchester Place to or from the town centre during the morning or evening peak hours and securing a car park would often take 15 minutes or more. Furthermore, Kia ora's seen its town centre master plan, which was recently released for comment, has signified quite clearly that parking in the town centre will change in the future, and it's more likely that people will have to pay to park within the area. Consequently, people residing on Queenstown Hill will have to weigh up the cost and potential time it will take to find a park within the town centre against the option of walking and cycling from home. I consider that the above-mentioned reasons, that although the land between Queenstown Hill and the town centre is not flat, it is walkable and will be an increasingly attractive option. Since submitting my primary evidence, Council have released its dwelling capacity evidence, which concludes that the proposed district plan will provide sufficient, feasible and realisable capacity to meet the expected future demand over the next 30 years. However, in two agenda reports by planning for the August ordinary meeting of council last week, the above-mentioned dwelling capacity model outputs are acknowledged but staff outlined concerns about the uptake of development on zoned land and recognised that much of the realisable zone capacity is held within a small number of ownerships. On this basis, council staff are currently looking at how to provide further housing supply. Specifically in relation to Queenstown Hill, I observed that in Table 4 of Mr. Osborne's evidence to the hearing panel, that the demand to reside on Queenstown Hill is anticipated to exceed the estimated realisable capacity by 467 dwellings. So an increase to the zoning of Queenstown Hill would address an anticipated demand for people wanting to reside in that location, and it would also result in land capable of increased density being owned by a greater number of people. In terms of scope, the LEM trustees' submission does not address the entirety of Queenstown Hill, and I'm not aware of any other submissions which provide direct scope to address the relief I consider warranted. However, the NZIA Southern and Architecture Plus Women Southern submission, in relation to the strategic direction chapter, states that they support densification in appropriate areas, although they don't mention specifically the areas. And the submission from S and J McLeod states that to halt urban sprawl, the density for the existing residential areas close to Queenstown and Wanaka must be increased to allow better use of existing residential areas without further increasing the overall footprint of the two basins. These two submissions may provide general scope to review the density around the town centre. Should the panel find that the above or other submissions do not provide sufficient scope to zone Queenstown Hill high density residential, I would then concur with Ms. Devlin that a medium density residential zoning of the subject sites would be more appropriate than the low density residential zoning for the reasons set out above and in my primary evidence. Thank you.
That's always good.
In summary, Ms. Lee, the difficulty that you have with retaining, with proposing heavy, high density residential zoning on these sites is they don't then have any context for the other land around them, which is high density zone.
Yeah,
that's the problem, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's sort of odd. Okay, I get that. The rest of it I understood, thank you.
The council report was said the submission lacked any discussion or effect on amenities and surrounding land. Your evidence doesn't take it a great deal further, does it?
Sorry.
Your evidence doesn't really take that a great deal further.
You
mentioned height, and that's about all. Do you want to comment on that?
When I compare the medium density and the high density, built form parameters, they're still quite similar with, two notable things that are different, or three possibly. The height being the one which I concentrated on. The other ones being the building coverage. Under medium density, it's recommended to be 45%, and under high density, to be 70%, and then the third one will be the continuous building length. So under the notified medium density chapter, it was supposed to be 16, but it's recommended in the right of reply to be 24 metres, and then the high density is 30 metres. There's a difference of 16 metres potentially there. So those are the three things that I see as being the big differences between the you could build allowably, but there are also other things like under both zonings you can build up to four residential units as a permitted activity. Anything beyond that requires a restricted discretionary activity, And then the manners of discretion are very similar between both signs, but they look at things like the dominance effects and the views on effects on views and shading, articulation, street activation. So I feel like although you can do more in the high density residential zone in terms of your height, your coverage and your continuous building length, there is a cross check with those matters of discretion. So you've got a substantial development.
If it's a substantial development, provided it isn't just done lot by lot.
Yeah, well that's a possibility. I'm sorry, on Manchester Place there are already existing developments, so there's already two units on, I think, four of the lots up there, so it wouldn't be developed as one stretch.
Well, you're comparing, you're talking about MDR and HDR, but it's fairly local.
Yes, that's right.
So what are the comparable dimensions there?
So, yeah, then but if you're comparing between low density and medium density, or low density and high density, yes, there's a big jump between low density and high density. The height between low density and medium density is very similar, I think. Yes, so between low and medium, the built form parameters are quite similar.
So what's the coverage in low density? I just done more things. Well, you're talking about walking and cycling. I can see where you're coming from. On the walking, I'm not sure about cycling.
I think e-bikes are becoming quite popular in Queenstown, and you do see quite a few of them zipping up to Fern Hill here.
Okay. Might answer any questions that you see. Is anyone appearing for Mumwood Investments, Belfast Corporation, or Mr. Murphy?
No.
That's okay. In that case, we'll move on to Mr. Munson.
Thank you.
On behalf of Neville Mann, submitter 628, in relation to the zone 2 to 26 Park Street and 19, 13A and 13B, Brisbane Street, Queenstown. My primary evidence has been pre-circulated in accordance with the directions issued by the Chair of the Hams Panel. I've read Ms. Devlin's rebuttal evidence dated 7th of July 2017, in which she has affirmed her Section 42A recommendation to maintain the notified medium density residential zoning of the subject sites. I've also listened to the recording of Ms. Devlin's evidence to the hearings panel on the 7th of August. In reviewing Ms. Devlin's rebuttal evidence and listening to the evidence presented at the hearing, it appears that the only remaining issue preventing a recommendation in favour of the high density residential zone of the land is that the size of the land would constitute a spot zone. I'll therefore concentrate on this matter. The sites requested to be zoned high-density residential in the submission constitute a combined area of 7,437 square metres, which is not an insignificant area. The sites constitute the entire northwest face facing alignment of Clark Street and approximately half of the block facing west. A spot zone of the subject sites to high density residential, with the remainder of the area staying medium density residential, is not problematic as both zones are residential in character, albeit the intensity could be different. In reviewing the objectives and policies for the zone, for both zones, I note that they are very similar in the activities that can occur within the two zones. Both zones provide for community activities and facilities which are best located in a residential environment, and both only seek to allow small-scale commercial activities. For the same reasons as set out in my primary evidence, I maintain that the remaining two blocks contained by Hobart Street, Park Street and Franklin Road are entirely suitable for high-density residential zoning rather than the notified medium-density residential zoning. Having land with such high amenity buildings located between 100 metres and 300 metres away from the Queenstown Town Centre is a gross underutilisation of urban land. Ms Devlin has stated to the hearings panel that if there had been scope to consider high-density residential across the entire area, that her recommendation may have been different. The Neville Mann submission specifically outlined the sites sought to be zoned high-density residential. However, it also stated the following: alternative, amended, or such other relief deemed more consistent with or better able to give effect to these submissions or the provisions referred to by these submissions. I consider that the above may provide the panel with scope to review the zoning of a wider area rather than just those sites listed in the submission, as it would be an amended relief better able to give effect to the submission. In addition, the NZIA Southern and Architecture Plus Women Southern submission in relation to strategic direction chapter states that they support densification in appropriate areas. And a submission from S&J McLeod states that to halt urban sprawl, the density of the existing residential areas close to Queenstown and Wanaka must be increased to allow better use of existing residential areas without further increasing overall footprint on the two basins. These two submissions may provide general scope to the panel to review the density around the town centre. Since submitting my primary evidence, QLDC has released its dwelling capacity evidence, which concludes that the PDP will provide sufficient feasible and realisable capacity to meet the expected future demands over the next 30 years. However, in two agenda reports for the August 2017 ordinary meeting of council, the above-mentioned dwelling capacity model outputs are acknowledged, but staff outline concerns about the uptake of development on zoned land and recognise that much of the realisable zone capacity is held in a small number of ownerships. On this basis, council staff are currently looking at how to provide further housing supply. Overall, I consider that an increase to the zoning of the two blocks between Hobart Street and Park Street would provide increased development capacity across land and multiple ownership. Thank you.
Have you seen the rebuttal evidence that Dr. Farmina lodged on behalf of the Friends of Auckland Governments?
I have, yep.
Do you have any comments to make, given that you're rebutting your evidence, do you have any comments to give the panel in response to that rebuttal evidence?
No, not specifically. I have read it and I didn't feel like I needed to provide any further evidence beyond what I've already provided in my evidence in chief. I still do not see the special character area, or the characteristics that would make up that area when I walk around the area. So, but I don't have any expertise as yet on that area. I am a planner.
Yes, quite a bit of time was spent asking Ms. Wendy Banks about the traffic implications of more intensive activities in the four blocks actually that could potentially be zoned high density residential. What consideration have you given to those?
When I've walked around the area and, you know, was just, you know, living in Queenstown, I'm quite familiar with the demand for parking, on street parking around the area, and how that area fills up very early during the week. And it's kind of, it's part of the character, rightly or wrongly, in the area at the moment. So I would think that any development would have to provide all of their parking on site, both visitor and resident parking. But as there's no transportation chapter, being notified in the PDP at the moment, I haven't gone beyond that consideration.
What about, you refer to congestion? And I've experienced it coming into Queen Street, coming into Queenstown. What consideration did you give to that? Turning movements in and out and so on.
No, in terms of the zoning, I haven't thought of that.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.
In your evidence, paragraph 32, you talk about the gardens.
Yes.
And how it's used and the activities there. Just from a planning perspective, do you see that part of the gardens as naturally falling into an extended natural landscape?
It's in the entrance portion.
Yes, the bit you described where you've got the bowling club, the tennis court, the frisbee golf areas. That in fact, yeah, the bit directly opposite Park Street, in other words.
Yeah, so the, no, I don't see that as being part of. Yeah, so I can, the way I see the gardens as being, you know, significant in terms of this landscape goes, it's more from the outside of the peninsula looking in. So it's the you know, the large trees and the green space. So when you're on the lake or when you're over you know, towards Fern Hill looking backwards, you see that as being, you know, a significant green space, you know, on the edge of Queenstown. But I don't see it as having any kind of significant landscape amenity looking from Park Street in.
And what about looking from Park Street down towards town centre, in other words, towards Church Street?
That's a difficult one. You've got, in the foreground, you've got the row of perpendicular car parks all along there. You've got the footpath, and then you've got a backdrop of mature trees, and you don't see anything beyond that towards Church Street. So, yeah, I'm not sure if that, if I would consider that a part of a natural landscape. The trees definitely provide an amenity within that streetscape, but I'm not sure if it's a landscape classification amenity.
Thank you.
Just while these things ended around, I'll just let you know that we visited the site in July, and the site visits, and not down the drives there yet, fully aware of the situation on the ground. So,
fantastic. We didn't spot you.
We did an incognito.
We were in plain sight. It isn't in plain sight.
Yes, in plain sight.
All right, well, I'm Samuel of 11 Wolf Street.
And I'm Angela Wakeford of 9D Wolf Street. So, but I also am the body board chairman of the four units on Wolf Street. So I'm representing not only myself today, but also the body board.
And I'm Diane Lever of 17 Wolf Street, which is situated at the entrance to the waterway. And this summary is just a follow-on to the objection that we put in and read to you.
Yes. Yes, but the other two weren't sitting with me when you
said it.
Yeah, so you can go through it again.
Sorry, I got proper. But in the summary, of course, it's all the maps and the, objection proper, it's all the maps and photos.
Yes.
So, does all of the panel have the original, our original submission? Mm-hmm. Right, so you have that in your
room. Everything was on that.
Okay. So this is about the high density residential chapter 9. Our submission is that the proposed district plan proposal to create a high density zone along our council maintained right of way off York Street is inconsistent with the stated objectives of causing minimum impact and would in fact create insurmountable problems to an already difficult restricted road that provides access to residential properties. The objective in the proposed district plan, in particular 9.2.6, relating to a high density zoning of the right of way states, and I quote, high density development will effectively utilise existing infrastructure and minimise impacts on infrastructure and road networks. End of quote. This would not be the case with any high density development on the right of way. The existing infrastructure cannot be effectively utilised, and high density development would have a major impact on existing road networks. Clause 9.2.6.4 states, and I quote, ensure access and parking is located and designed to optimise connectivity, efficiency and safety, end of quote. Access and parking are already compromised by the severe physical limitations of the right-of-way. This was acknowledged by Council in 2003 when it stipulated a developer 3 York Street was to, quote, widen the existing right-of-way and form all parking removing areas to council standards. This could not be done. We've been advised by council recently that yellow no parking lines will be painted on both sides of the right-of-way to assist current traffic flow by residents already experiencing difficulty accessing their properties. The York Street right-of-way was constructed by the Queenstown Borough Council in the early 1980s for a specific restricted use. Quote, must only be used for travelling to and from your property, and no vehicles or other obstructions should be left parked permanently in the right-of-way. End quote. Private ownership of the right-of-way was given by council due to the loss of a street frontage caused by the realignment of York Street. No areas were set aside by the then council for widening or a through road. There is in fact no berm or footpath. Such widening or extension would be on private property and great expense with substantial retaining walls. Permission of the owners is highly unlikely. Any such construction would eat into their land and be close to their houses. It seems an anomaly has occurred in the proposed district plan in that half the properties, namely 11, 9, 3 and 1 on the right of way, have been designated high density, while properties 13, 15, 17 and 28 have been recognised as low density. Nearby properties at the same altitude have a low density zoning. High density would significantly exacerbate an existing traffic problem on the right of way and, And the pragmatic solution would be to zone low density or property service by it.
I do, and I wonder if you could help me here. The high density zoning, for it to happen, would require a redevelopment of some properties, because most, I think, are occupied. There's one new development going up at the end of the right of way.
One?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Off Hallenstein Street.
That one's off Hallenstein.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Can you, without, you know, breaching your own sort of privacy, tell me roughly how old the properties are, the houses are, and what the properties are worth? Because the likelihood of redevelopment would depend on somebody being able to buy more than one of these high density zone properties and knock the buildings down and replace them. And I'd like to understand what that would involve.
I can comment on behalf of the body corps.
Yes.
So the four units that you will have noticed, the white, or
yes,
white four,
yeah,
directly in front of them is a vacant section.
Yes.
Which three of the four units actually own.
Okay.
Now, the developer or the person that bought them originally, that piece, parcel of land was purchased so that they could never lose their view.
Oh. So it's never going to be developed.
So currently the three owners have been approached if they would like to sell it, and all three of them have said no. That is my understanding. In terms of the four units, it was done in two developments. I think ours, being one of the old ones, was 1992 or 1994. It was somewhere around that area. All of them are actually very well maintained. It is only a small body corporate, and we every year have been spending money on maintaining the buildings. None of them are leaky buildings, all very well maintained. Ours personally has been fully renovated recently, and I know other owners have been doing small amounts in their property. In terms of the other section, there is also another vacant section, which is also number three. So number three is actually split into two. The parcel of land I referred to being owned by the 9 York Street owners, but there is an easement there which allows access to another section which is directly in front of Sue and John Knowles' property. That person has also been approached if they would like to sell their property to the developer on the corner of Calmerstein Street, and they have also said no.
We understand there's an intention to build a home there. Our house, York Street, is built in 1970s. It's been fully renovated, and there is no intention of selling. It's a substantial enough home to.
And the other house as well.
Well, there's two vacant sections either side.
In the low density zone already.
And I believe that there's no intention of selling those. Our house was built in 1993,
okay.
And we've lived there since.
We had some interesting evidence last week that our house might have to be 50 years old or more for the property to be considered a redevelopment opportunity. And that, of course, depends on what you pay for the package and what you can sell the future units for. So I was just trying to test the likelihood of a high-density residential zoning actually happening.
It was quite interesting you should bring it up. Recently, we actually just met on the weekend prior to coming here just to work through what we were talking about today. And one of the comments made was the fact that everyone on the right of way has been long-standing residents, and as far as we're aware, no one has any intention of moving on. In fact, I'm probably one of the newer residents of only 3 years, but everyone else is a long-standing resident. Yeah. Interesting, one of the sections the side view, so which is on the low density side.
Upper side.
Yeah,
on the upper side. Yes, Diane's on the upper side, which is already designated low density.
So the section to the left of yours, one of the names, Tony, the one that was in the car, he said that there is a whole lot of, I'm not quite sure of the terminology now, but underneath the ground there's a whole lot of servicing in there. He said he looked to buy that a long time ago, it would be extremely difficult to develop on it because of what sits underneath it. So that's just a fine buy.
These are the things that make the difference to it happening in reality. Have any of you looked at the proposed, the development plans for the project that's happening off Hallenstein Street? You have?
Yes.
What can you tell us about that?
Well, it's been approved by councils and it's underway. They've had trouble with the retaining wall. It's terraced in. The developer has bought the section behind, which is number one York Street.
Which is serviced by the right of way.
Which is serviced by the right of way. We don't know, I don't think he's submitted plans for that. We don't know what his intention is. Other by his say that it could be a stage two.
We have heard that it could be a stage two of the development on Hallenstein Street. But from my personal point of view, we were well aware of the development on Hallenstein, on the corner of York and Hallenstein. It did not greatly affect, he had no access to the right of way for that property.
This traffic is off.
This traffic for that development is off Hallenstein Street. Since purchasing York Street, he's removed, one York Street, he has removed the house.
Mm.
And yes, our understanding is that he ultimately will wish to develop on that. And obviously we'll be keeping a close eye on that.
And do you know the height of the buildings that are proposed?
Just hearsay again, I believe he's...
No, the one that he's doing.
The one he's doing on Hallenstein Street.
Must be within the...
I was just going to then ask you if you knew what effect that would have on your views.
Nothing.
No effect on your views. Thank you.
The current development, the corner of York and Hallenstein, does not affect. It's very steep there and it doesn't actually affect.
We did have a look, but I just wanted to be doubly sure that I'm having heard things that I didn't know before about easements and who owns property. I thought maybe there's something I haven't noticed.
Yes,
thank you very much.
And in fact, the house that was removed was 7 metres, the current standard. So we were aware, we know what that looked like.
But as Angela refers to, the importance of the big development off Hallenstein is that all the traffic comes off Hallenstein, it's not down our right of way.
Yes.
Which is
Which if stage two went ahead, it would be interesting to see where he was going to access.
Which is a smaller section.
Which is a smaller section.
But that's two down there.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You wish to know the value of...
I was curious, but you don't have to tell me. But
it's
an order of
public
magnitude.
It's not a public record. I think our case, that, which is 11 York Street, is 1.3.
And my understanding, the townhouses that I'm representing, anything from 1.2 to 1.3. Each that is, yes. Sorry, 1.1 to 1.3.
Yes. Oh, of course, that's... Yeah, I understand. That just gives me an order of magnitude.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I have no questions, thank you. Well, thank you before. And,
you did very kindly, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. It's incredibly helpful.
Last time, the engineer questioned the fact, brought up the fact that could there be a through road, make the right way a through road, of which I sort of answered in the summary in saying there's never been any announced when they set up the right and they're going to have a through road and their private property goes right up to the curb. So it's an impossibility.
I think it's also worth noting too, since the last hearing that we had incorrectly, the council have agreed to put yellow no parking lines right down that right of way because we have been experiencing at times a lot of people parking on the right of way. When town was a little bit quieter and parking wasn't such a premium, it wasn't an issue, maybe one or two, but we're now experiencing vehicles parking all the way along and right to the corner, and it's causing difficulty to get around there. So that's been an acknowledgement from them that there has been some issues with the right of way in terms of access and parking. Could we ask when do you make decisions on these titles? And I'm not rushing you, it's just from our point of view.
Our aim is to get our recommendations to the council by the end of March next year. Mm-hmm. So April or March is the sort of time frame I expect the council to make those decisions in the meantime.
Right. And once those decisions are made, is that set in concrete or is there room for another process?
There's appeal rights to be in the court.
Right.
So it's another option beyond us.
Right.
Thank you.
I'm just the driver.
Okay. Stephen, thank you. I'm
thank you for your help. You've been brilliant. And Julia,
At least 30 minutes.